This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Tyler Donaldson. We'll also hear a report from the Minnesota FFA Convention from Whitney Pittman. Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has fined American Crystal Sugar Company $350,000 for violating air quality standards at its East Grand Forks plant. The investigation centered on issues that happened between 2020 and 2022. The Polk Norman Monoman County Health Board will receive 40% of that $350,000 penalty. A statute that went into effect last year requires a portion of the penalties be made to community health boards in the area where violations happened. This is the first case that meets that criteria.
The final general session of the Minnesota State FFA Convention is underway in the Twin Cities. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has this report.
Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. We are talking with Ada Borup West, FFA student and now state degree recipient, Elias Trout. Tell us about your experience with FFA and your experience here at the state convention.
This is my third year in FFA now. I joined back when I was a sophomore. And it kind of started off with, I was just in a class that was taught by Mrs. Savage, the agriculture teacher here. And all of a sudden, I got halfway through the semester, I got asked by a couple of classmates. They said they needed the last person to fill their companion animal vet science team. And now I'm here getting my state degree.
And the rest is history, as they say. So tell us a little bit about some of the skills and the things that you learn being involved in this organization. Obviously, you've stuck around and hopefully gained a few things from that.
Yeah, my main projects right now and experiences in FFA are my work experience at a local beef ranch, as well as my horse projects training rodeo horse to go to college with me. And I have a lot of fun doing that, and I've learned a lot. I'm in horse evaluation. That's why I'm competing at here for state as well for horse evaluation.
Tell us what requirements you need to meet to get that honor.
You need to have involvement with the chapter. You need to be involved with activities. You need to have community service. You also want to keep track of your projects, like my goats, horse, my work experience with my beef production is what it's under. All those go into the state degree. I keep track of everything I do, all the money I spend, every transaction, money with cash or not with cash, the skills I develop, the time I put in. Every little bit of information that I do with agriculture goes into that.
Like you said, you weren't really looking to get involved in FFA until it sort of happened. What advice would you give students who find themselves in a similar position or maybe have the opportunity in front of them?
Notice a lot of the kids that are already involved with agriculture are pretty much in FFA. It's starting to be a lot of kids that feel like they don't have a place. But once you join the organization, you kind of find your place. Like if you live in town but you really wanted to show a dairy cow or a beef cow, with FFA you can meet people, learn about them. You could find someone who would let you show their beef cow. You can learn more about the animals that you want to do, learn more about the careers you want to go into. If you feel like you don't have a connection to agriculture, FFA is the way that you gain a connection through that. I already had a bit of a connection because of my family and the things I already did. But for people that aren't involved with it at all, FFA is the way to get involved with it. FFA is there to get rid of the obstacles for getting into agriculture.
Coverage from the Minnesota State FFA Convention is brought to you by Proceed, Minnesota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Reporting from Minneapolis, I'm Whitney Pittman for the Red River Farm Network.
USDA trade delegation has arrived in India. USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor leading the trade mission to the most populous country in the world. Nearly 50 agribusinesses and 11 state departments of agriculture are participating in this trip, including North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring.
With tight beef supplies, the U.S. Meat Export Federation is promoting underutilized beef cuts in international markets. USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says there has been success with the different cuts from the round primal.
knuckles, insides, etc. Outside round flats, a lot of success there in places like Taiwan, Korea, even in Mexico and Central America. We've seen some success on some of these cuts. Shoulder clods, another area of the carcass. And of course, you can't forget variety meats. Variety meats continue to be a very important part of the growth.
Hallstrom says this effort helps maximize the value of the beef carcass beyond the traditional mix of beef cuts.
The Farm Service Agency is providing emergency loans for farmers dealing with quarantines due to high path avian influenza. The Minnesota Board of Animal Health began the quarantine last October for farmers in 15 primary and 40 contiguous counties. The money can be used to replace equipment or livestock or refinance certain debt. The county FSA offices will be taking applications through December 4th.
We're seeing record-breaking prices for lean beef across the country. Perham and Tri-County Stockyards owner and auctioneer Mitch Bartle says it's a combination of things that has beef prices soaring.
I would say we got a COVID shortage just because COVID was 2 years ago and the cattle market, they got piled up because them cows couldn't get harvested. And now that drove the prices lower. And with the drought and the lower prices, people have liquidated their cows and got out of the cow business and have drove these markets higher just due to shortness of cows.
Cash cattle prices are remaining firm through the spreading of bovine influenza.
Feeder cattle are selling really good. We have dropped back here since the avian flu situation in Texas occurred. The Board of Trade has tried to use it to drive this market down, but these cash cattle that we're selling are still selling at the same levels they were a month ago. The Board of Trade has dropped. They have used it to beat that down, but the cash cattle are selling awfully, awfully well. They need these cattle to run through their plants and to produce some beef and put on the shelves. So I think we're going to recover from that, and we're probably at our highs or close to our highs. We're in the upper third of our highs right now, and we got the pedal to the metal, and it'll probably hang in there for a little while yet.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Milk production in the 24 major dairy states totaled 18.8 billion pounds in March. That's down less than 1% from a year ago. South Dakota had the biggest increase in milk production, up more than 11% from 1 year ago. South Dakota added 21,000 cows to the state's dairy herd over the past year. Minnesota milk production declined 1.4% with 8% fewer cows.
South Dakota Corn is busy at work on behalf of corn growers throughout the state. According to South Dakota Corn Director of Marketing Amanda Beshin, policy and checkoff dollars are the biggest areas that the group focuses on.
So we're actually an organization that's made up of two distinct organizations. So South Dakota Corn Growers Association is really focused on policy. So we're a grassroots organization, really making sure that farmers' voices are heard not only in Pierre but also in Washington, D.C. And then the other side of our business is the South Dakota Corn Utilization Council, and that part of our business is where your checkoff dollars go, and we really focus on research, education, and promotion of corn so that we can really help increase the value of the corn product throughout the United States and then also marketing to other parts of the world.
Beshin says unleaded 88 through the friendly fuel giveaway is a great way to save money at the pump.
So we are promoting our friendly fuel giveaway. So we're just really promoting unleaded 88. The EPA administrator has allowed an emergency waiver through the Biden administration to allow unleaded 88 to be sold all summer long. So we're really excited that saves the consumer on average 16 cents per gallon by using unleaded 88.
During the first public hearing on the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline, Pickering Energy Partners founder Daniel Pickering spoke about the benefits that the pipeline could bring to North Dakota.
With more carbon attracted to the state, again, potential here would be there are other businesses, fertilizer, food and beverage, the ag business, et cetera, that use CO2. There's more carbon in the state. There's more potential for those jobs to be created or those industries to come to the state. So the expansion of kind of the carbon infrastructure.
Corn-sourced ethanol could be a big draw for more spending on corn in the state.
One other ancillary benefit could potentially be if we think about where the carbon for this particular project is being sourced. It's coming from ethanol plants across the country. Ethanol uses corn. So if there's an uplift in the economics of ethanol associated with carbon sequestration, then ethanol plants have better economics. Those better economics could attract more spending in the ethanol business, which attracts more corn consumption. And so there's a potential to at least support, if not enhance, the price of corn, which would then flow through to farmers here in the state of North Dakota.
The sugar beet weed control strategy is a little different this season than the past couple of years. Extension sugar beet agronomist Tom Peters is recommending holding off on the dual magnum application until next week.
Since we're anywhere from 2 to maybe 3 weeks ahead of the water hemp, our strategy is going to be a little different. So staying on the message of water hemp, I'm advising growers to use epifumigate products pre-emergence, but to hold off on the use of dual magnum pre-emergence until next week. You know, maybe this weekend or certainly next week.
Peters says the goal is to keep the beets clean until the post-emerge applications can begin.
The dual magnum product it's a real-time weed control product. So it's easier to activate. The duration or length of control is a lot less than ethyl. So the last thing I want is for them to use the product and then it to be gone, to be degraded before they're going to need it. So that's one change from previous years to this year. Hold off on the use of dual magnum until next week.
Soil moisture across much of the Midwest is rated adequate to surplus. However, World Weather Incorporated says drought or abnormally dry conditions are still prevailing in portions of western Midwest, most notably in Iowa. Western Kansas, western Oklahoma are also abnormally dry. Rain over the next 7 days expected to miss the western half of the Texas Panhandle, western Oklahoma and Kansas, northward into eastern Colorado, leading to increased winter wheat stress. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. With workforce shortages, the agriculture sector is looking for young people from all backgrounds to fill important jobs. Ridgewater College agriculture instructor Lindsay Ampey said her story is pretty typical. She is 3 generations removed from the farm and has a degree in mathematics and financial management.
And thought I was going to work on Wall Street. And then I married a farmer and moved to rural Minnesota, and I wanted a career that helped me fulfill that need for business and, you know, communicating with others and sharing an industry I now love so much, agriculture. So that started with Land O'Lakes, right? I didn't think I was going to work for an agribusiness, and then I worked for one of the largest in the country. Then I moved to rural Minnesota and realized all of the opportunities within rural Minnesota to just share the story of agriculture, to support those that are feeding our world. And it really is so impactful for even those students that don't come from agriculture.
To be successful, Ampey says the ag sector must be competitive to get the students' attention.
They want to be able to make a good living. They want to be able to have that work-life balance that's so important to all of them. And we really feel that the businesses that support agriculture that are evident within rural Minnesota offer the pay that many of these big companies in the Twin Cities or in larger metropolitan areas that they offer with the calmness and the quietness, right, that rural America kind of gives.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. Minneapolis May wheat, 9 cents higher, 664 3/4. Chicago May wheat's up 14. Kansas City May wheat up 9.5. May corn, 3.5 higher at 443 1/4. December corn's 2 1/4 higher, 474 3/4. May soybeans, 7 1/4 higher, 1168 1/4. November up 2, 1173 3/4. May canola in Winnipeg's 870 a metric ton higher, 635.60 Canadian. June live cattle down 85 cents, 177.20. October is down 57 cents at 179.37. May feeder cattle $1.05 higher at 246.22. October's $1.27 higher. May lean hogs $2.12 higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.